I want to start out this morning by thanking the elders for the opportunities that they've given the youth here. There's not many places that give their children the opportunity that we have here. And all the young men that will be serving this morning are getting great introductions to their Christian lives. And we really are thankful for the opportunities to get up and do stuff like this. It can be a little bit scary at times. I know there's a lot of young men this morning that are getting up and doing things for the first time. It's really scary to get in front and look out at all these people staring at you, but it really is a great boost to your confidence. It's a great learning experience, and it's good for everybody who gets to be involved in it. If you would this morning, I'd like for you to turn to Matthew 28. We'll be reading verses 19 and 20. It's Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. I wasn't really sure if we would be having a scripture reading this morning, so I went ahead and wrote this down. But I'd like to go ahead and read this because I really feel like it does a great job of leading us into the sermon title this morning. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of age. Amen. So many of us have probably heard this passage many times. We've also heard Mark 16:15, which is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is what we commonly call the Great Commission. It is our duty as Christians to go about the world spreading the gospel. Recently, the West Huntsville congregation, I had the opportunity to hear a speaker from the Gospel Broadcasting Network. He's the director, Brother Don Blackwell. It was a very interesting study that he led on a Sunday night. He focused solely on the World Video Bible School and the Gospel Broadcasting Network. And he just kind of talked about the work that was going on there, and I felt like it was a really interesting, and for me, I really enjoyed hearing it because it's something that we don't really think about very often. And he brought up a really interesting point that I had never really thought about. But imagine on Judgment Day that we're standing before the throne of God, and he is bringing about all the things we've done in our lives, and he asks us one question, and that is, what have we done in our lives to accomplish the Great Commission? And we might respond, well, you know, we've done our best, but there are 8 billion people in the world. There's no way that we're going to get to all of them. You know, that's a whole lot of people. There's a whole lot of area to cover. And he brought up a very interesting point that we have the tools to do this. That God is going to bring up the point that he has given us the tools, given us the abilities, given us the things that we need to go unto all the world and preach the gospel. We really don't have any excuses. We just have to find the means and the ways to go about doing this. He's given us the opportunities and the means to do it, but it's up to us to accomplish that goal. One thing that has always is really interested me is walking around and looking at objects, just simple objects. It doesn't really matter what it is. But if you look at just about anything in life has multiple purposes. There's not one thing that a piece of paper is good for. It's not just good for writing on. You can make paper airplanes. You can do anything. Just about anything, any item, any whatever we have has multiple purposes and can be used for multiple things. One thing that I really think about is television. I think we can all agree that the purpose of television is entertainment. We don't turn the television on because we don't want to watch it. We turn it on because we enjoy it. We love watching the shows that are on it. We love watching sports, TV shows, things like that. So the question that brings up is, why do we have ads on TV? Why do we have advertisements? Nobody likes them. They definitely don't pay to run advertisements just to support your favorite form of entertainment. That's not why businesses do that. Somebody, a long time back, I don't know whenever TV was invented, I'm sure, decided that TV made a really good form of marketing, really good form of advertisement, and that is why we have television advertisements. I know every year people watch the Super Bowl to see what the Super Bowl advertisements are going to be. People pay millions of dollars to run an advertisement on TV. It is a good form of exposure. People have realized that television is a great tool for marketing their brand. That is a perfect example of where we are in evangelism. There's all kinds of tools out there, and it's up to us to find ways to use them to spread God's word. And my goal this morning is to hopefully give everybody in here a new perspective on some of the tools that we have, some of the things that we take for granted, I feel like, some of the things that we kind of overlook. And hopefully, as we go about our lives, we can begin to look at things with a different perspective and begin to look for ways that we can use them to spread God's word. I want to start out with some of the more simple things that I feel like I said, we really take for granted. We've always had them. We don't really think about it. But the first one I want to talk about is the mouth. Oral communication is something that only humans can do. I've never heard a dog communicate with each other. They have one communication that's barking. But as humans, we can communicate with others. We can talk to others. We can have studies with others. And it is something that has been present from the beginning of time. It is an excellent tool that we have as Christians. It's probably the oldest tool of all the tools for evangelism that we have. And if you would, I'd like for you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 with me. We're going to be reading from verses 13 through 16. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Till I come again, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Notice that it says, give attention to reading. I know most Sunday mornings we have started doing scripture readings. It is important for others to hear the gospel spoken. If you go sit in a classroom at school, you're going to hear the teacher talk. It's a wonderful learning tool, and for centuries and centuries, people have been reliant on hearing others preach and teach the gospel in order for them to learn it. Today, this isn't so much as evident to us, but back in past times, this was the only way to ever get God's word. If you wanted to hear God's word, you had to go find somebody that was teaching it. I looked up some of the statistics. I thought this was kind of interesting. At 1820, which is only about 200 years ago, that's not very many generations removed. It seems like a lot, but it's really not that far off. Only 12% of the people in the world had the ability to read. So that means that 88% of the people in the world were reliant on those that could read in order to get the gospel. If they didn't hear it, then they weren't going to get it. That was their only form of evangelism they were going to receive. They weren't going to pick up their Bible and read it. They didn't have the opportunities that we have now. So they were very reliant on hearing others read. Today, in 2015, actually, almost 86% of the world can read. Just about everybody can now. So we can do a lot of our own study now, more than they could so back then. But throughout the Bible, there's many stories of Jesus, the apostles, others that went around teaching, and it talks just about how flocks of people just flocked to them. They wanted to hear them. They were hungry for the word. And one of the biggest ones that comes to my mind is Mark 10, verse 1. And Jesus is traveling, and this is just one of the many instances that he is just flocked, really. People wanted to hear Jesus talk. They wanted to hear the word. And for many of them, this was going to be the only way that they were ever going to hear it. Then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan, and multitudes gathered to him again. And as he was accustomed, he taught them again. So Jesus is traveling. He is moving around. And there are multitudes following. It's kind of like a paparazzi nowadays. But people weren't doing this. Obviously, they wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to meet Jesus. They wanted to see the apostles. They wanted to see the great things they were doing. But they also wanted to hear the word. And it says that Jesus taught to them as he always did. He wanted them to hear the word, and they wanted to hear it. They were hungry for it. For many, many years, we have had gospel meetings and things like that, and people come to hear the gospel. People are hungry to hear the gospel. The mouth and the oral word is probably one of the most important tools that we have. Something that this brings us to next is the printed word. And this is something that I feel like, especially I and most of us in here, have taken for granted. For centuries, nobody was able to have the Bible in their hands. I would say most of the people out here looking out, most people have a copy of their Bible in their lap right now. But this is a luxury that many people didn't have for many, many years. In fact, for Christians went about 1,500 years without even having a way to print the Bible. The only way you were ever going to get a copy of the Bible was for somebody to handwrite it. And it would be so expensive that you couldn't even afford it. Even when print first came into, was invented, and the ability to print books and things like that, it still it cost so much that only the nobles and the rich people were able to even afford one. So really, we're blessed to be able to have this. We're blessed to be able to go home at night and study the Bible and read from our own Bible and to be able to study the words for ourselves. I thought it's interesting to note that the average American house now has three Bibles, and I can say myself, I probably have more than that sitting around. We're blessed, and it's something that we take for granted a lot of times. It's a very important thing, and not only do we have the Bible, but it has also been translated into about 1,521 different languages. Back centuries ago, you were lucky to have maybe three languages, and if you didn't speak that language, then you had to find somebody who could translate it for you. It is a powerful tool that we have. Many of you have seen the little New Testament Bibles that they hand out. It's a powerful tool. I know we used to get them at school occasionally. They would come and they would hand them out. And this is a powerful tool for spreading the gospel, especially in third world countries that don't have access to printed Bibles. I know there are thousands and thousands of Bibles that are sent across seas every year just to hand out to those who normally wouldn't have the opportunity to afford something like this. This is a luxury. This is kind of like what we have in a cell phone nowadays. At one time, this was possibly the most precious possession anybody ever had in their house. And it's something that a lot of times we take for granted today. If you would turn with me to Joshua 1:8. This just goes to show just how important God's Word is, just how much reverence we should show for it. Joshua 1:8 reads, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." God's word is important. It's the most powerful word. It is the rule book that we have to live our lives by. We are to study on it. We are supposed to meditate on it. It is a powerful tool that we have. In Acts 17, this is just one of the many missionary journeys that is going around. And it talks about the brethren at several different places. And it talks about the amount of study that they put into the Bible. And I think it's interesting to read. That's Acts 17, starting in verse 1. "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as was his custom, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus whom I preach to you is Christ.'" Any Bible study that you go into, the most important tool that you're going to have is the Bible. It is God's inspired word. It is where all studying should originate from. It talks about how Paul went in and he reasoned with them from the Scriptures. He had it in his hand. He was able to show them, able to read with them. And this was a very effective tool for him in Thessalonica. And if you would, drop down to verse 10. "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were far more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whatever these things were." So, the people in Berea were very independent in that they wanted to go and search the Scriptures. They had the hunger that we're supposed to have as Christians to go and search the Scriptures. They went. They didn't just take the apostles' word for what it was. They went and searched the scriptures and studied for themselves. They used the tool that they were given, and they used it to the best of their ability. We also, something that we really need to take advantage of, is something that we have here is the house to house, heart to heart. Pamphlets like this are maybe not a all-explaining tool for those that don't know Christ, but it is something that can spark a fire under those who need to hear the word. If you hand somebody one of those, they might take it home, they might read it, and it might spark an interest in them. Tools like this are valuable ways that we can spread the gospel. The next point that I'd like to discuss is technology. Technology, for many people, is a very scary thing to think about. Many of us probably would say that technology is overused. It is abused, most definitely so. The TV, the internet, things like that can be used for a lot of terrible things. They're very powerful tools that can be used for very powerful things. The closest thing that I can think of that would relate to technology is guns. Guns are something that can either protect us, or they can be detrimental and possibly lead to the loss of lives. People go out and do mean things with guns, but they can also be something that can protect your families, protect yourselves. And technology in a lot of ways is the same way. It can be used for a lot of detrimental things. It can be dangerous. There's a lot of bad things that can come from it. But if used correctly, there's a lot of good that can come. The first thing that I want to talk about is I talked about Don Blackwell and the Gospel Broadcasting Network. I know this is a work that the Fairview congregation has been involved in and making available to the Giles County area. It's headed by the South Haven Church of Christ in Olive Branch, Mississippi, and it started about 12 years ago. And a lot of the statistics that I'm going to mention are some that Brother Don mentioned the night that I heard him. I went back through and listened and wrote some of them down because I think it's very interesting for us, because a lot of times we don't get to hear and see these things and the effects that are coming from works like this. They offer one programming, I know for sure, on DirecTV and Dish every morning, and it is estimated that goes into about 40 million homes. 40 million homes every Sunday morning, one broadcast that they have every Sunday morning. And I can't name one tool that we could reach 40 million people in an hour amount of time. That's amazing to me. That's impressive. That is a powerful tool that we have. Today, about 80% of homes have televisions. It is one of the easiest ways that we can reach the majority of people on earth. People even in remote regions such as India and places like that, you can go up into the mountains and look, and they will have TV antennas. Some of them won't even have homes, but they will have TV satellites so they can have TV. This is a powerful tool that we can use to spread the gospel and to reach others that are out of Christ. They also have an app. I know all of us in here probably have a smartphone nowadays. You can't really go without one, it seems like. But they have an app that you can download, and you can watch all of their programming from your phone. You can take it anywhere with you and watch it anytime you want to. This is a powerful tool. We need to share these things with others. We need to spread this and use it to the fullest potential that there is. He also talked about the World Video Bible School, and this is something that I had never really known about, to be honest with you, until Brandon mentioned it to me probably a year or two ago. And basically what they do is they create DVDs and create material and hold classes on Bible materials, basically like preaching school, but it's on the internet. Anybody can take it. If you want to take a class on Romans, you can go take a class on Romans. Anything you want to learn is there. They have many, probably thousands of DVDs and material that you can disperse to others that in most cases are free to give out. He mentioned one person that even took, they had a DVD on self-defense. And they took a stack of DVDs and took it to the local shooting range and asked if they could leave it at the counter. And they said, of course they could. They were excited, and they went pretty fast, he said. And while self-defense might not be, you know, the gospel that somebody needs to hear, that is a way to introduce people to the material that that they might look further into. They might go to the World Video Bible School class, online. They might look into some of their material. This might be the spark. This might be what leads them to Christ. It's things like this that are very important to us. But statistics that he mentioned that I thought were very interesting is there's currently people from 167 different countries enrolled in the World Video Bible School classes. I don't know the exact number right now, but when I was in school, there was 207 different countries in the world, and 168 of them, there's people enrolled in the World Video Bible School. He also mentioned that there's several atheists that are enrolled in it, and there's about 52 different religious backgrounds. People that are in these classes, most of them aren't Christians. And I thought that was very interesting because you wouldn't think that these people would be actively searching out opportunities to learn like this and to learn things that, in an atheist case, that they don't agree with. But, you know, these are tools. These are ways that we can reach people like that. People that are interested in the Bible can learn from things like this. This is a powerful way that we can spread the gospel. They also have these little things now. I think Brandon had one at one time, but they look kind of like business cards. And they had the World Video Bible School internet address on it. And basically what you can do is you can get a stack of those. They're free. You can hand them out to people. And then they can go and look at the website and watch videos and things like that. You can leave them at restaurants when you go to eat and things like that. But these are powerful tools that we need to utilize as Christians in today's world. Probably the best tool that we have for evangelism, in my mind, is science and nature. God's creation is probably speaks for itself more than any other tool that we have. It's definitely the greatest show of God's existence and God's power. If you've ever studied with the atheists, that's one of the best places to start because there's so many things that just cannot be explained. The world is so intricate. There's so many different things that have to work together to make this happen. And it's just a really interesting thing to bring up in studies like that. Psalm 19:1 discusses the importance of nature. Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Nature shows God. It shows His handiwork. It was His creation. It is perfect. We can read through the story of the creation and see how He created it. If you've ever sat through studies, I had the opportunity a while back to listen to Brother Mike Houts. He is probably the smartest man I've ever listened to. He's a member at the Madison Church of Christ in Alabama. And he is actually he has his doctorate degree in nuclear engineering, and he understands things that I will never be able to understand. But he came to UAH a while back, and he talked about just how many different things there are to discuss and just how many signs there are that God is the only person that could have created this earth. He talked for probably 2 hours that night and discuss things that I found very interesting. But these are powerful tools that we have to discuss with others. To those especially that don't believe the gospel, that don't believe in God. I know most of the kids in here have probably at some point gotten the Discover magazines, which are written by Apologetics Press. They discuss many of the things, dinosaurs, fossils, all kinds of different scientific material that relates to the Bible. These are powerful tools for young people to start learning, to start seeing. You'll never see this stuff in school. They can't discuss it. They won't discuss it. But these are ways that you can learn and you can see just how powerful God is. I know we've had several speakers from the Apologetics Press. That is a very interesting work that they're doing. They deal a lot with science and a lot with proving the Bible. They do a lot of debates with non-believers. They do a lot of different lessons. They have all kinds of material on their website. I would encourage you to look at that. But we have all these different tools. But why do we need these things? The first thing that I think of is all of us learn in different ways. I might learn from seeing stuff with my own eyes. Walking out in the natural world and seeing God's handiwork is something that really strikes me and really is important to me, while others, they might learn more from hearing the Word. Some might learn more from reading the Word. But you'll notice that God is the one that created all of us. He knows how all of our minds work. And He has given all of us the tools that we need that we might learn the Bible and we might grow as Christians. And it is up to us to spread those words and to use these tools to reach those Christians throughout the world. It is only our job to achieve the Great Commission. It is up to us. Without us, it's not going to happen. We are God's servants. We are the way that we are going to spread the gospel. We have to go into all the world and preach the gospel, whether that's by sending missionaries, whether that's by monetarily supporting work such as the Gospel Broadcasting Network, whatever it may be, even going to work and talking with your coworkers, that might be your way of spreading the gospel and making a difference in this world. And hopefully on Judgment Day, we can all say that we have used all the tools in our arsenal to spread the Word of God. Maybe there are some of you in here this morning that have yet to take on Christ. I would encourage you to consider it this morning. He has given us a simple plan that we can follow. First, you have to hear Romans 10:17, believe John 8:24, repent Luke 13:3, confess His name Romans 10:9-10, and be raised through baptism, and come up, go into the water and come up a new creature, a Christian, Acts 2:38, and most importantly, remain faithful. For those of you who've had a difficult time and maybe have fallen short along the path of remaining faithful, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. 1 John 1:9. We can have forgiveness this morning if you would, if you have any need, if you would come forward as we stand and sing.